Hi, I'm Mandy Jordan. Welcome to Inside the Blanket Fort, a weekly update from SIU Press, the scholarly book publishing unit of SIU. Last week, we began our dive into Criminology, the press's month-long promotion of our criminology titles through the month of May. These titles foreground the stories of victims of crimes, members of the justice system who have fought for them, and the workings of the justice system itself. Keep listening to learn about more of these Criminology titles. While COVID-19 lockdowns affected nearly everyone worldwide, feelings of anxiety and fear were exacerbated for those already entangled in the criminal justice system. Scholars recognized the unique opportunity to study crime and the justice system's response during this period, though they soon realized that determining the pandemic's effects would be a complicated, nuanced process. Crime, corrections in the COVID-19 pandemic, responses and adaptations in the U.S. criminal justice system, edited by Brianne Plegenkuhl and Joseph A. Schaefer, features analyses and findings from more than 30 contributors in 11 essays. The collection examines the multifaceted social, economic, cultural, legislative, and policy responses to COVID-19 and their impacts on crime and justice. It also explores how professionals across the criminal justice system, police officers, campus police officers, attorneys, judges, correctional staff, and community supervision agents adapted to unprecedented challenges. The role of a juvenile defender is riddled with conflict, and clients are uniquely challenging because of their lack of life experience and their underdeveloped decision-making abilities. In Dilemma of Duties, The Conflicted Role of Juvenile Defenders, Anne M. Corbin examines the distinct function of defense counsel in juvenile courts, demonstrating the commonplace presence of role conflict and confusion, even among defenders in jurisdictions that clearly define their role. The study focuses on juvenile defense attorneys in North Carolina, where it is mandated that counselors advocate for their clients' wishes, even if they do not agree it is in the client's best interest. In Dilemma of Duties, Corbin outlines patterns of role conflict the defenders experience, details its impact on counselors and clients in the juvenile justice system, and addresses the powerful influence of juvenile court culture and the lack of resources for defenders. Tasked with guiding these children, counselors frequently must contend with and manage their clients' general distrust of adults as they attempt to serve as their voices to the court. Evolving Constitutional Rights, The Roberts Court and Criminal Justice, by Christopher E. Smith, Michael A. McCall, and Madhavi M. McCall, offers a compelling and in-depth analysis of how the U.S. Supreme Court has reshaped constitutional protections under Chief Justice John Roberts. The authors examine the court's significant decisions from 2005 to Justice Breyer's retirement in 2022, revealing a complex judicial landscape where traditional doctrines are revised and fundamental rights are redefined. The Roberts Court played a decisive role in some of the most contentious issues in American law. Due to several justices' application of originalist interpretations, its rulings have reconfigured key constitutional protections, often in ways that expand the authority of law enforcement while constraining legislative power over criminal statutes. The trajectory of the court's conservative supermajority raises pressing questions about the future of constitutional rights. In the late 1980s, the introduction of crack cocaine and easy access to guns led to the emergence of the street gang culture and an explosion of gun violence in Boston. Black and Latino youth were both perpetrators and victims of firearm violence as the city grappled with a staggering number of shootings and homicides. Officers within the Boston Police Department struggled to find new and creative ways to combat the growing violence and neutralize gang influence. Paul F. Joyce was one of those officers. Throughout his extensive career with the Boston Police, Joyce was at the forefront of the department's anti-gang and youth violence initiatives, including during the height of gang and gun violence in the late 1980s through early 1990s. Later in his career, after 31 years in policing, Joyce transitioned to academia as a criminologist, seeking to better understand the lives of the gang members he had encountered during his time as an officer. He interviewed 30 Black and Latino men who witnessed and led the emergence of the street gang phenomenon in Boston. It started with the Hats, the life experience of Boston's founding street gang members. Joyce's uniquely candid look at gang membership, humanized by the perspectives of the men who experienced it, provides invaluable insight into the complex interplay of the social, cultural, and personal factors that shaped individuals' life courses. Relationships between law enforcement and lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer, LGBTQ+, communities have always been varied and complex. On one hand, history is filled with incidents of police harassment, raids that sparked famous uprisings and rebellions, shoddy police investigations into the murders of LGBTQ+ community members, a corrosive organizational culture marked by heteronormativity and misogyny. Yet positive changes are being made, such as the creation of LGBTQ+ police associations, participation by police officers in pride parades around the world, and formal apologies for past actions. To some LGBTQ+ community members, police are the physical manifestations of state-sanctioned oppression and abuse. To others, they are guardians who have become partners in public safety. Q Policing, LGBTQ+ Experiences, Perspectives, and Passions, edited by Roderick Colvin, Angela Dwyer, and Suleiman Giwa, features 18 contributors from around the world who explore the nature of the relationship between LGBTQ+ communities and the police. Part one of the book offers insights on policing and racial and ethnic constructions, including efforts to build collaborative models of community building within groups and with law enforcement. Part two highlights the experiences of individuals who may be marginalized due to various social constructions, such as transgender, unhoused, Southern, or kink involved. Finally, part three shares perspectives of queer folks inside policing. You can buy your own copies of these illuminating criminology titles from our website at siupress.com. Join us next week to hear about more of the titles in focus for criminology. That's all we have time for today. This is Mandy Jordan from SIU Press, encouraging everyone to make your own blanket fort and tell a story.